Good morning. How are you all today? It is a joy to be here. I really appreciate getting to know Pastor Greg. He did us the honor of doing music when we did our dedication of our 94.9 frequency at the Albany City Rescue Mission. And I've gotten to know Pastor Jay very well over the last couple of years. He serves on the Capital District Advisory Team for the Sound of Life. Next year is our 30th birthday. The Sound of Life started as one station out of Kingston. We've grown to 12, and Albany is our latest in March. God blessed us with a powerful frequency now in the city of Albany. So you guys are kind of blessed. You got 90.7 out of Pattersonville, Schenectady, and 94.9. Our mission is to connect people with the positive message of Jesus Christ. We do that primarily through music, because that is the best way to reach people who particularly are not connected with God. And we also, certainly we have Christian people who listen to us, but our focus is to reach out to people who don't know Jesus. Because if you know Jesus, we're going to heaven. We got the goods. And there are so many people who don't. And that is our heart and our passion. And on January 9th is the official anniversary date of the Sound of Life. So it is great to be here. I did want to just, you're allowed to say things about the pastors when they're not here. And I'll only say good things. Pastor Jay, you know, the Bible talks about Jesus gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Pastor Jay is that biblical version of what a pastor is, the real deal. Like I said, I don't know Pastor Greg well enough, but he is certainly a visionary leader, and I deeply appreciate that about him. Today is kind of a weird day because we're kind of in between. Do you feel that way? Once Christmas is over, but it's not New Year's yet, you know, what do I do? It's kind of like being at the dentist office. You know what I mean? It's kind of, you know, you're waiting, but, you know, you're not there yet. And yet God wants to interrupt us. God has this history of interrupting us. In fact, it was 50 years ago this Christmas that everyone's world was interrupted when a brand new Christmas special aired called A Charlie Brown Christmas. And this December, it celebrated 50 years. And what was profound about that was several different things. One thing is the gospel was proclaimed in prime time through an animated character who shared the scripture. That's pretty awesome. No one had ever done that before. There were some other things as well. But what I want to do, I want you to watch this scene, okay? I think we can all relate to Charlie Brown, okay? I think many of us have felt like Charlie Brown, you know? Insecurity, not going to do it right, you know, no one really cares about us. And Charlie Brown is trying to do his best to direct this Christmas production, okay? And nothing's going right, you know? And Charlie Brown just, you know, in frustration, does anybody know the true meaning of Christmas? And of course, ever the theologian, ever the philosopher, Linus Van Pelt, immediately steps up, having memorized verses that I don't think I have fully memorized. Let's watch this from A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
And so I know you're saying, okay, we're going to give the guest speaker a little latitude this morning. Christmas is over. Why is he playing us a Christmas clip? And well, because there's a profound truth in what Linus related that we need to carry on through the rest of the year. Something interesting about A Charlie Brown Christmas, because the title of my message this morning is Suddenly. I don't like being interrupted. I don't know how you feel about it. You're in the middle of telling a good story, or you're focused on doing some work, and somebody, you know, I find some of my best work is done outside the office, because obviously my team has needs, and they want to come, hey, Tom, can I talk to you, you know, and they, sometimes they don't think you're in the middle of doing something, you know, and I just don't like being interrupted, okay? But the reality is God wants to interrupt us, and he does it in suddenly ways. And in fact, the way Charlie Brown Christmas got to air on CBS was a suddenly. How many this morning would like to thank Coca-Cola for the fact that the gospel is presented every single year during Christmas? See, Coca-Cola went to CBS and said, do you have a Christmas special? We want to sponsor one this year. Well, the executive, being ever the executive, said, sure we do. They didn't. But he told Coca-Cola, sure we do. Great, come in a week and give us a prospectus on this Christmas special. Oh, dear. So in a week's time, he put together a team of a couple of people. They went, they presented to Coca-Cola, and they said, great, we love the idea. And they said they decided they're going to use peanuts, you know, the bring the peanuts characters to life. They had never been animated before. Then they started the whole process of putting together a Charlie Brown Christmas. They ended up getting a jazz artist to do the soundtrack, never been done before. They actually used children. They used a couple of voice actor children, but the others were just children. You know, Sally, you know, when she says, all I want is what I have coming to me. All I want is my fair share. Okay, that wasn't an actor doing Sally. That was a child. So they get this whole animated special together, and they go and show it to the executives of CBS. They hated it. They said, what is this? This is not a typical, this is not the way you do a children's Christmas special. This, but it's done. They can't pull the plug now. So it aired. And 50 years later, it's been a landmark of Christmas specials, something that we all look forward to. And that moment when Linus brings back the whole perspective, it all happened because of an interruption, a suddenly, thanks to Coca-Cola. So what are these suddenlies about? Because you see, God wants to interrupt our lives. He's about interrupting our lives because we are on this earth to serve his will and his purposes. He created us. He has a unique plan for each one of our lives. But if we're about doing what we want to do and not what he wants to do, then he wants to interrupt us. You see, God wants to interrupt when we least expect it, at the least opportune time, to those least deserving. And all of us qualify for that. He wants to interrupt us when we least expect it. It's usually at the times that aren't most convenient, and it always comes to those least deserving, and that's all of us. I want to go back, and I want to read this story once again, this account of these shepherds and this divine interruption, this great suddenly that transformed this group of rejected ones, these shepherds. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." I just want to pause here for a moment and just say, they're saying, this is a big deal. You guys are a big deal, and this is a big deal. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Let me set the stage, okay? Because sometimes when we read Scripture, we think of it today rather than then. Okay? And if you're familiar at all with this story, you know what's coming next. Okay? We know we are the spoilers. Okay? We know what's going to happen next. Okay? They didn't. The shepherds were not sitting on that hillside going, "It's Christmas Eve. Got your presents wrapped? Got the stockings up, you know? Tonight's a big night. Tomorrow morning, boy. Can't wait. Might get that new shepherd staff I've been asking for all year long." It was just another night. They were just doing their job. The thing you have to understand about shepherds is they were the rejected ones of God's people. Many times they couldn't keep the Hebrew laws because they were unclean. They were working with sheep. They were out in the fields. They were just doing their deal. They were used to being the rejected ones, the least ones, the ones nobody respected, the ones nobody listened to, the ones everyone put off. And here they are on this hillside. It's a quiet night. Some are sleeping. Some are watching the sheep. Some are sitting around the campfire. They're not expecting what is about to happen to them. They're not sitting there going, you know what? I think tonight's that night. Tonight's that night we're going to be interrupted. The sky's going to crash open, and an angel is going to appear to us, and a heavenly host, and all this kind of stuff, and the Messiah is going to come, and we're going to be the ones that he's chosen to go down, and this is going to be really awesome. That's not what they were thinking. It was just another night. And that's typically when we're set up for a suddenly in our lives. When it's just another night, we don't really feel like there's any great purpose for our lives. We all feel like Charlie Browns. And yet this night, God makes a choice. He could have chosen anybody to be the first to reveal that the Messiah had been born. He could have chosen Caesar. He could have chosen Herod. He could have chosen the Pharisees. He could have appeared inside the temple to the priests, but he did not. You know, when God makes a choice like this, it's significant. It's a suddenly moment. And so, a suddenly is going to do something when God interrupts our lives. And I don't know where you are today, but we need our lives to be interrupted. We need our culture to be interrupted. But it usually starts with someone who's willing. Someone who realizes in all practicality who they are. Really nothing, with no place to go, no purpose in mind. That's the person who God's ready to do a suddenly. Because a suddenly is going to do some very significant things. A suddenly is going to change your life and purpose. You may be sitting here thinking you got it all figured out. Those shepherds had it all figured out. We're shepherds. This is the deal. Nothing's going to change. It is what it is. But the reality is in verse 15 of that same chapter, Luke chapter 2, when the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Let us go. Let us go to the very place where people might reject us. Let us not stay on this hillside as the rejected ones. Let us go. Let us take the initiative. Their life and their purpose was changed because God said, "I've chosen you to be the first ones to tell and to be the first ones to go and tell." And so they got up, they dropped their, listen, they left their profession behind, okay? It wasn't like, let's get the sheep together, let's kind of get organized here, we got to get them in a line, we'll do, they just said, "Let's go." And you know, for suddenly moments sometimes, it may need to be that way for your life. I need to drop what I'm doing to follow God and do what he's asking me to do. So a suddenly will change your life and your purpose. A suddenly will also change your focus. Verse 16 says, "And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger." They were focused now not on shepherding. They were focused on being with the Messiah, experiencing the Messiah, seeing this very thing that they had been told to be true. So they went, and they found the Messiah. Their focus had been changed. A suddenly is going to change your focus. And finally, a suddenly will change your identity. You know, there's things that we believe about ourselves that are not true, but we believe them as truth. That is our identity. But the best identity is one that is defined by God himself. Verse 17 says, "And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." Okay, here's the deal. Their identity was changed because they heard and they saw the Messiah. They experienced the Messiah. Their identity had been changed. They had been rejected shepherds, staying as far away from people as they possibly could. Now, they went and made known to everyone. Now, you got to understand something about shepherds. They didn't need to speak to know that, for people to know they were in the room, okay? There was a certain aroma that shepherds carried that went before them, shall we say, okay? And so people knew they were coming, but they were not ashamed anymore. They went and made known. They were the first New Testament evangelists, the first New Testament proclaimers that there was a Messiah, and he was here, and we saw him, and we're telling you all about it. And all who heard wondered at what the shepherds told them, didn't drive them off, didn't send them out. These shepherds had been changed. They had been changed to the very core of their identity. Suddenlies will do that. God interruptions will change your life and purpose. It'll change your focus, and it will change your very identity. So if that's what it will do, why don't we let God interrupt us? If those transformational things will happen by encountering the Messiah and letting God interrupt our lives, bringing suddenlies into our lives, why won't you let God interrupt you? Well, there's a couple of reasons, and these aren't all-inclusive, but one is comfort. I don't want to change. I'm fine. Okay? It's all good. I've developed some nice barriers, parameters around my life, and I don't want to go outside of those. That's fine. But you will not experience God in His fullness in a comfortable place. You can set those up, and maybe because of hurts or experiences in your life that said, you know what? I'm not risking it anymore. I'm maintaining comfort. And sometimes we just do that. If something's not going right or a relationship, let me just level it out, even it out. Let me just get back to being comfortable. And that's not what life is about. That's not the way the God life He created for us. It's not to be comfortable. It's to know Him and to glorify Him. And sometimes that can be very uncomfortable. But I would be rather uncomfortable with God interruptions than comfortable in saying, God, no thanks. So comfort, I don't want to change. So why else don't you let God interrupt you? Pride. Pride. I don't need to change. Everyone else needs to change. And the issues in my life is their fault. It has nothing to do with me. I'm fine. I don't need to change. It's everyone else around me. It's the government. It's, you know, the neighbors. It's the, I don't need to change. That will keep God interruptions from coming. Where I think I know what's best for my life. I've learned over 32 years in walking with God, I don't know what's best for my life. God knows what's best for my life. And He knows the best ways to interrupt my life and how to change me so I can be all that He wants me to be. Change is vital in the life of a follower of Jesus. Someone who wants to grow closer to God. It means leaving some things behind. Comfort and pride are two things that can't stay with someone who genuinely wants to follow Jesus. Pride, I don't need to change. The other, why don't you let God interrupt you? Indifference. I really don't care. I've kind of got it all set up. I know what church is. I know what this is. I've got all the answers. I'm the answer person, you know. Maybe you know someone like that. They've got all the spiritual answers, but really their life is not really reflective of something that I would like to be like. Whatever. Indifference. I don't care. Because we have to be passionate about wanting God to interrupt our lives. And He will. He will do it in ways that we don't expect, at times we don't realize, but God will. Because to God, it's not a surprise. God's suddenlies and God interruptions are, God knows all about them. To us, they're a surprise, but to God, they're not a surprise. You know, in my 32 years of walking with Jesus, I've had many God interruptions. I've had many suddenlies. Let me just tell you about a couple of them. One came on February 19th, 1982. This was probably the most significant, the start of all the suddenlies in my life, the God interruptions in my life. Just to give you a little backstory, I grew up in a church. I would say I was kind of hungry for wanting to know God, but by the time I became a teenager, I was more hungry about the things I wanted to do and the way I wanted to live my life. I didn't want anybody telling me what to do, and you know, and you know what? And I started doing that. And I started leaving a trail of hurt and pain in my wake. You know, I was responsible for the abortion of a baby because of, hey, I want to do what I want to do. And it dug me deeper and deeper and deeper until by the time I was 19 years of age, I went into the kitchen in my house and took a bottle of sleeping pills and wanted to end my life. But God wanted to interrupt all of it. I ended up going into a psychiatric hospital for about a month, came out, didn't feel any better. About 2 months later, in February of 1982, I committed myself to Westchester Psychiatric Hospital in White Plains. Because I figured, well, nothing's going to change. I don't want to be a burden to my parents anymore. And, you know, this is the end of it. So I went into this unit that was for adolescents who had depressive disorders, eating disorders. And it was very much like a movie I saw in the 70s called One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson. It was very much like that. There was a whole pecking order. There was nothing medicinal or healing about the place. It was just there were those that had been there longer than you, and so they knew better, and so you better do what they say. And, you know, everybody smokes. I mean, it's kind of like, what else do? You go to individual therapy, occupational therapy, group therapy, and you smoke. That's really kind of basically, and you eat. And that's what it was. And after a day being there, there's just this echoing in my head. This is what my life had come to, just over and over. Well, there was a girl that I knew from high school. She was in that same unit. She was an alcoholic, and she, what they did there in this unit is if you broke a rule, they would take privileges away from you. And since everybody smoked, you start with the smoking privileges, okay? So if you didn't do what one of the nurses said, you couldn't light your own cigarettes, okay? Okay, well, this is going to bring healing into my life. Thank you very much for that. Okay. And then if you did something else, then they would take your cigarettes away, okay? Well, she had her cigarette lighting privilege taken away, and she decided to light her own cigarette. So to help bring greater healing in her life, they took her and they put her in the quiet room. It's a cement room with a mattress in it, and that's basically it. And they locked her in there for 4 hours, okay? When she came out, I would not say great healing happened to her in that 4 hours in the quiet room, because she was really angry. She went back into her dorm room, and she put her fist right through a window. And they called up these orderlies. I always remember them as these Hulkster, like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger types, and they dragged her off screaming. They shot her up with Thorazine, which is a highly inducive medication. Calms you down, especially if they give you like 400 milligrams of it. And I'm watching all this is going on. And I go back into my room and I just kind of collapse on the floor. And this is what my life had come to. And I didn't know what to do. I thought, you know, this was the end of my life, February 19th, 1982. There's no reason to go on any further. And I remember this one question, this one thought coming to my mind. Why don't you try God? You see, in spite of all my mess-ups, mistakes, sin, doing my own thing, God was still there. The Holy Spirit was still there. See, up to that point, I was angry at God. He wasn't answering my prayers my way. Like when that girl I found out she might be pregnant, I prayed, God, don't let her be pregnant. And he didn't answer my prayer. So I was mad at him. Never thinking it was really my responsibility or my fault. Because I was a blamer. Okay, that's what you do. You don't take responsibility for yourself. You blame everyone else. It's their fault, not my fault. So, sitting on that floor, this thought, why don't you try God? One more time. And I thought, what else do I have to lose? And I prayed a very simple prayer. And this was it. God, if you're real, you need to show me now. Otherwise, I have no reason to go on living. I didn't even say amen. But as soon as I finished that prayer, suddenly happened. It was as if the sky broke open on that hillside in Bethlehem. But it wasn't angels that I saw. For the first time in my life, I saw my life as I really was, a lost, sinful person who had left a wake of pain behind him. I saw all the issues, all the things were my fault. But in the same moment, I saw Jesus. Now, no one had preached the gospel to me. No one told me that he was the way and the truth and the life, that he died on a cross for my sins and was buried and rose again. But in that moment, I knew. It was a divine, supernatural moment. I saw myself as lost and sinful, and I saw the Savior. And I heard one thing, Tom, if you give your life to me, I will take your life, I'll forgive you, and I'll do something with your life. See, when people come to a church or something and they see somebody standing up there, they think they don't have any history. They think, well, they've always been doing this. You know, they popped out of the womb and boom, there they are preaching, you know, and they got really cool Argyle sweaters on and they really cool mic, you know, and lighting and everything, and it's like, this is what they do. The reality is you all have to understand, you know, I'm grateful for every moment because I shouldn't be standing here today. I have no right to be standing here today. If it weren't for God's interruption, if it wasn't for his suddenly, I wouldn't be. And I share that to bring hope to any person today who might be sitting thinking, their life is done. There's just nothing God has for me. Good for you, but not for me. No, no. Good news for everyone. When we're willing to let God interrupt our lives, like those shepherds, like those least of these shepherds. And I want to tell you something. I've had issues in my life. I have issues in my life. My wife Kathleen is here with me today. She's very proud of her. She's one of the associate pastors at our church back in Poughkeepsie. She oversees all the small groups, and you know, so we get to walk in ministry together. And you know, but she knows my issues, and I know a couple of hers. Not many, but you know, but we all have issues. Doesn't matter how long we've been walking with God. And God is so gracious. He just continues to work with us in this process. He uses us and he works with us. He works in us and through us, and he works in our lives, and he lets us be a blessing to other people. That's kind of the way God works. It's not, well, let me get everything cleaned up, and then you can stand on the platform and, hello, I'm here to bless you this morning. That's not the way it works. God suddenlies. When I became the CEO of the Sound of Life 10 years ago, I thought I knew I could do them. The ministry had gone through a very difficult time, and the chairman of the board was a good friend of mine and said, would you ask me if I would consider coming to lead the ministry? And I thought, well, of course, I can do it. I mean, don't they know who I am? Well, the moment I got in the door, I realized how much I could not do it without God. God spent 18 months showing me, Tom, without me, you can do nothing. It was a suddenly time, and a very difficult suddenly time. Let me fast forward to about a year ago. My family had noticed that my mom, you know, she was repeating things a little more. And, you know, as we get older, we do that. I do that. You know, But it seemed the cycle of repetition and stuff was getting more frequent. And my brother called me one day to say, hey, Tom, Mom hasn't paid a bill in 4 months. And so we knew we needed to intervene. And Mom was very happy to let my brother and I, you know, just wanted to do it in a very caring way. But it was suddenly. You know, we were now a caregiver for an elderly parent. And we wanted to be very sensitive to what Mom wanted and her needs. But as time went on, we ended up moving her to independent living. A week after she moved in, she was diagnosed with lung cancer. Suddenly. And then she went to rehab. And by the time she came out of rehab, her dementia had just moved way up. And we had to move into getting her into nursing care because she had medical needs as well as, you know, mental needs. And she was fine with the whole process, but it was all suddenly. And the times I'm driving down the road and I'm angry. And I don't know if you're this way, but I read in the Psalms, you know, some of those guys got angry and they told God exactly how they felt, and God can handle it. And I've had to learn that I just need to tell God this is exactly how I'm feeling about the whole deal. Because I'm not appreciating this suddenly. But the reality is God's been doing a deep work in me at the same time, meeting needs in my mom and teaching me more about him and his grace. But when I try to control everything, I eliminate all of God's suddenlies, all his interruptions. I want to encourage you that God knows better than you and I. And when we're willing to let go and surrender God can interrupt, and he does wondrous things in our lives. For a person that lets God interrupt them, that has to be your confession. You know better than I, God. Sometimes letting go of control is the greatest step we can take. You know, when my mom was in independent living, I had to take care of everything. We had to up the aid care, keeping on doctors, all that. And the moment she went into the nursing home, and she's in a wonderful place with very caring people, I had to let go. And now I'm in a place of having to let go, letting them take care and stepping back. And being a very double or triple type A personality, that's not easy. But that's part of God interrupting. And this morning you may be here today, and you may be in a place where you are hungry for a deeper relationship with God. You may have never made that decision to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And one of the obstacles may be, I just want my life to maintain. I can promise you, following God, there is no maintaining. There's turning control over to Jesus Christ, letting him interrupt your life any way he chooses, because he knows what's best for us. And sometimes we tend to not, because we've been hurt, but the reality is your Creator knows what's best for you. And it is never his intent to hurt you. It's his intent to make you better than you are. You may also be here today and you're going through a tough time and you just can't gain perspective. And maybe the perspective is, God's interrupting. He's doing a work that right now he can't show you what it is because you're in the middle of it. But I can encourage you that he's with you through it. And you may be here today and you feel like you're a nothing. Maybe from words spoken to you or your own perspective, you look in the mirror and you see something that's nothing. And I want to tell you something. You are something. The scripture says we are created in God's image. In his image, he created us. God never makes junk. You are a one-of-a-kind, unique, precious creation of the Creator. And if you can just hold on to that today, God will show you how precious and special you are. I want to pray for you this morning. I also want to give you a little gift. I have a bookmark for you guys. I'm sorry, I'm a nonprofit organization, don't have a lot of money to spend. But sometimes we need daily encouragement, and that's what The Sound of Life is on the air for. And this tells you where you can listen to us. We've also launched an e-television station online. So you can go whenever you want on your mobile device, your computer, and find encouragement and a reminder that God made you for a purpose and he has a plan for your life. Let me pray for you. Lord God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you speak and you never stop. And that you've designed each one of us with a very unique, special plan, not, Lord, for our glory, but for yours. And I lift up, Lord, to you my brothers, my sisters that are here today, for those, Lord, that have been searching, longing, wondering, why am I on this earth? Lord God, that they might begin to see it's to fulfill your plan for their lives. It's to surrender their lives to the God who made them. And to let Jesus be the leader. Lord God, for those that, for whatever reason, feel like they are like a Charlie Brown, Lord, remind them today that you have made them unique and special, and that, Lord, you want to interrupt their lives to show them that plan. They don't have to figure it out or control it or make it happen. All they need to do is yield to you and say, have your way, Lord. And for that person today, Lord, who might say, you know what, I'm just too old. Lord God, I thank you for people like St. Patrick, who he was over 65 and he reached 100,000 converts in Ireland and planted over 150 churches after the age of 65. I thank you for Moses, Lord, who led his people out and he was well past 80. Lord, we are never too old to give our lives in a fresh and a new way to you. And so I pray you would encourage that one, Lord. And for the person who finds themselves in a very difficult situation right now, Lord, you promise us in your word, Lord, that you take all things and you work them together for your good so that we might know you and we might be conformed to your nature and to your character. That gives us hope today, Lord. And I pray you would just pour out your hope today and remind us as we go into this new year that this new year is filled with promise and purpose because we're going to let you interrupt our lives. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.